Hey guys, welcome to episode 134 of the JV Club with my guest, the hilarious Jessica Chaffin. I am a big fan of Ron and Beverly. I recommend that you listen to that podcast. I certainly will reference it in the episode as well. But I've had the joy of doing that show, and we've had them up at Sketchfest, and just in general, they couldn't be more marvelous. They're also wildly talented. They're working on something right now with the amazing Paul Feig. You can also enjoy them in the Heat. What else can I say? But please enjoy this episode with Jessica. I want to get some shout outs out there to Margo, Aaron, Mike, and Phil on Facebook. I want to thank on the Nerdist pages, Amy, Florencia, Nikki, PJ, The Shell P, Alec, and Tracy. I'm pretty caught up on other stuff, I think, although we all know that Twitter fell by the wayside in terms of me trying to keep up with getting shout outs onto the podcast. Hopefully I'm at least favoriting and getting back to you guys via Twitter. I think that's it for now. I still have a handful of t-shirts left. I'm pretty sure I have like at least one or two of each size. If you're interested, they're $20. You can PayPal me at j.varney@sfsketchfest.com with your mailing address and the size that you would like. I have women's, mediums and larges, and gentlemen's, mediums, larges, and extra larges. It's been a pleasure doing business with you guys, and I cherish you and hope to talk to you soon. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Further ado, listen, I'm gonna say right now, what if you only agreed
this is almost as professional as
and
our
by
podcast
the way, does not get edited
neither does
where
ours.
It starts
neither does
there
ours.
It goes where it stops
one
nobody
take.
Knows
hi Scott.
I turned this into like a weird Willy Wonka ride.
I think it's
where
weird.
It stops nobody knows.
I can't have Scott sniffing my purse. That's the only Scott, thing that I ask.
Scott. Yeah, go lie down.
I am a collector of purses, and I won't have Scott sniffing my purse.
I won't
purse.
Either. You need to lie down.
But I do like Scott.
There you go.
Scott,
settle
dog.
In. Settle in. Now listen. What if you only would do this podcast if you could be in multiple characters, not even one character, but you're like, I've got several characters that I have prepared, and I will answer each question as the character I feel best befits that question. Would you do that?
That's an interesting approach.
Mm-hmm.
It might make me the most annoying person in the world.
That's a slippery slope, right?
I think that if anyone, who am I thinking of? I hate to say the late great Robin Williams, but I feel like that was one of those things he would do, is that as a deflection,
right,
he would always answer questions in voices, in funny voices. And he was terrific at voices.
Yeah.
But you know, that was always that. I mean, whatever. It was more entertaining, I'm sure, than whatever he had to say, which was like... And I think also that was kind of like his particular brand of genius, was that stream of consciousness, like going
absolutely.
On a riff.
Absolutely.
But
I feel like
I'll promise to break into some characters
wonderful.
At some point during.
Well, I feel like I was just listening to a TED Talk podcast, like a TED Radio Hour podcast.
I wish I did that. I don't do that, and I know I should.
You don't listen to him?
No, I'm afraid of everything I'm not doing.
Oh God,
to make
I am
my
too.
Life better.
No, I am yeah. too. Don't worry about it. Listen, once I stopped working in HuffPost, I stopped reading the news, and so I am very much in danger of having someone say like, "Well, it's not like it's going to be another," and then they'll like insert reference of something major
yeah.
and important that's happening in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so oversaturated with it that now I'm like,
I think a lot of people live in fear of that. Well, right? I'm sort of that way, I think, with comedy and entertainment. Like, when people are like, what do you watch? I'm like, The Real Housewives and Vanderpump Rules. Like,
you,
I don't watch
don't
any.
Anything.
I was
also,
like,
I don't watch comedy because
like,
it feels like work.
I was like, I'm
know.
Sure everyone's shows are wonderful. I don't watch any of them, which is terrible.
Do you watch drama or do you just not even watch? Because I don't watch comedy because it feels like
I like
my job.
Documentaries. I guess sure. I'm interested. I mean, sometimes I'll watch comedy and I'll be like, I'll laugh because it's meant to make people laugh and it's funny.
Well, I feel like I always see you on stuff because I feel I don't watch comedies, but the beautiful thing about your career is that you slip into
these comedies that
I'm willing to watch because they don't feel like straight ahead comedies.
I can't even think what that is. You just described the career I wished I had. No, truly. But yeah, I don't know. I guess sometimes it feels like work, which I think is what you're saying about the HuffPo. You're like, ugh, enough. I've done that.
How do you disconnect? Yeah. How do you?
I am a voracious reader of the news, though. I can't.
God,
stop.
You and I make maybe the perfect person.
Put us together. Together forever. I think I like human aberration is what I like. I like aberrant behavior.
What documentaries are you into? Are you listening to the Serial podcast? Guys, I apologize. I started talking about it.
I literally just finished listening to the Slate Serial podcast on the Slate spoiler, which I wish they didn't call it that. But anyway.
They don't really spoil. Well, I guess they, I mean. They actually don't spoil anything
because they made a vow to each other in the first episode where they were like, can we vow to not talk about things that they don't talk about on the podcast?
Yeah.
Which is like, what's the point of having journalists policing other journalists if you're not going to tell us about Jay's Facebook page?
That's right.
But at the same time, I am trying to respect. I did appreciate that they were sort of trying to respect what Sarah Koenig is doing in this. And by the way, I'm dying to Google her, but I'm dying to know what she looks like, but I also don't want to know what she looks like.
Yeah.
Which is how I feel.
Oh, so
about.
You haven't even seen the, because there have been promo pictures of her with Ira and Dana and stuff. Like,
no, I won't even go on the website.
Oh God.
Which I should.
Chaffin.
It's not great.
Chaffin, I'm
trying to live inside the world of the podcast.
I guess. Appreciate that so much. And I've talked about this on Shadi on last week's episode or the week before last week. I don't know. But Shadi had no idea what the Serial podcast was. So I didn't really talk about it. And I don't want to talk. I mean, this can't be a podcast about a podcast.
We can talk about anything you want.
I just want to say one more time. And it's a little bit less important to me now than it was 2 weeks ago. Because
same with me.
By virtue of the fact that there's not any new information, really, it's just, you know, it's more about character study.
Yeah,
right now.
I got a little depressed on it this week.
I
was in a real high about it, and then I was like,
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Month three of a new relationship.
I think a lot of people feel that way. Like,
he's taking me to the most wonderful places. And then we've both been working a lot.
I know.
He's great. He didn't
take me to the airport.
I just wish
already.
He would like take me on a date.
Yeah.
Date. Do
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Just so much sitting at home and watching old Simpsons
just
reruns.
Something I could wear a dress. You know,
you know what
I just
I mean?
Like, I don't ever have a reason to put on a dress.
You know
dress.
What I mean? Or just a place that makes their own pasta. Do you know what I mean? Instead of, you know, the old spaghetti factory. But
yeah. Oh, well, dear. I wouldn't have gotten past the spaghetti factory on date one.
The old spaghetti factory.
I went down the rabbit hole, guys,
because I'm sure there are a lot of people not listening, but I went down the Reddit rabbit hole.
Okay.
And what I discovered is
Reddit is
there
scary.
Is a way to keep the enthusiasm alive and the obsession alive because there are many, many, many people, thousands now, in fact, who are interested in maintaining the grotesque high of the best moments of Serial in dissecting things. And so they will just continue to dissect one tiny thing and come up with new theories and stuff. And so it is a little bit like you're continuing that feeling, even though the podcast episodes are more about
what
character.
Do you think is the most significant, like what's the most significant thing that came to light that you either didn't know from the podcast or that you were like, oh,
I
that
feel
kind
like
of gave
I,
you a,
but I'm talking about spoilers now because for those people who A are thinking still listening about listening to it and B don't want to know anything that's not
all
in the
right.
podcast. I'll tell you offline, but
okay.
there's a lot. Let me just say, there's a lot. You already dropped Jay's Facebook
page. Do you think Adnan's guilty?
Yeah.
You do?
I didn't for a while, but I'm also so malleable. One of my favorite posts on Reddit, honestly, is this one poster that I notice. I really enjoy their posts a lot. And one of the things they said about probably the last episode, the Jay episode, was...
have you listened to the slate of the Jay yet?
Yeah, I've listened to it, yeah.
Because I liked that woman, but anyway.
Yeah, I did too. I liked that woman. This was a lawyer, guys, who weighed
like
in on
Lloyd or
yeah,
what
I
can't
she
remember
thought
what her name
was
yeah.
What she thought was like good about the
but
episode.
She's a lawyer and a journalist. She's worked for Court TV and a bunch of other things.
I liked her. Yeah. I loved her questions to them. Like, are you able to separate being a journalist versus being a...
I thought that she guided the conversation actually much more productively.
I wish that she was hosting the podcast.
Yeah.
All due respect to the people I don't care for that much on the Slate podcast.
So you were going to say...
I was going to say that this person said, this podcast has shown me more than anything in my lifetime how malleable I am.
Oh, yeah.
Including with real life things where I really am willing to flip flop on things if someone has a convincing enough argument.
That's why that shit is also crazy and cloudy about like him testifying and not testifying. And also, though, just the fundamental, like, I believe in freedom and democracy and the justice system.
I don't think he should have been convicted.
But this idea that, like, you tell a jury whenever the judge is like, no, don't listen to that.
Yeah, disregard that.
Discount that. That didn't happen. And it's like, you can't
un- That was a good point.
Hear something,
yeah, that was
ever.
A good point that guy said on the Slate podcast. Yeah. He was like, you can't tell people what to think. If anything, they'll think the opposite.
Yeah.
If anything, the jury
but
will the be
like,
well,
the idea
that
the judge, quote unquote, instructs the jury is so crazy to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. So what, anyway. Is that something that, documentary wise, do you feel yourself drawn to the darker side of documentaries, or do you enjoy all kinds?
Oh yeah, like I haven't watched A Thousand Feet from Stardom, or I don't watch the happy ones.
Yeah, you watch
whatever
the sort
is,
of like troubling ones.
it's a beautiful story of like love and no, I watched the one where the guy throws the acid in the woman's face and then she marries him anyway. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Oh, that was
what's
amazing.
What's that one called? Love Story.
And Fisher Stevens was the. Was the executive producer of that? I think it was called.
I hate now that people, the
word love is in it, but people I like. I hate this. These are the moments. Yeah, I think it was something like that.
Yeah.
But I hate that when people are like when you have these conversations and you have that moment where you're like your listener, you know, somebody's
that
like,
happens
crazy
to
kind of laugh. So, like, like that they're just like
17 to 18 times every single podcast. I'm struggling. You're trying to find it. You know, someone is like pounding on the table.
Yeah, they're like, oh,
addicted
to love. Addicted to love.
Yeah,
but it may have been.
I think it's a game show.
It may have been called. Crazy Love is what it may have been called, actually.
I think you might be right.
But that, and they're like they're from Coney Island to Queens, and she has that wonderful voice from that time. That's one of my character number one. We can make a
character
a
number
tally.
One.
That's
I'll
my first
I'll try
character.
To match each character and see if I can sort of parrot
but she
you.
She sort of says, you know, nobody sort of loved me as much as he did, you know, and he's like, and you're just like, it all makes sense when you say it in that tone, sitting on your like plastic covered couch.
Oh,
however,
yes.
This man blinded you and disfigured you.
That's right.
Though it was really interesting, the idea of like, which is so fucked up and dark, but the idea of like, well, what would have my life been like? Like, so I just would have been like the sad sister that nobody married.
Right.
And like he felt like he got to possess her. And
like
she was the most beautiful woman in the world.
Even in
she
her,
was already the most beautiful woman in the world. In a weird way, by destroying her face, he like froze her at that point in time.
Yeah.
So in a strange way, you're saying like, it is that line of like, I don't know. When you have like an ex, and I don't have any of these that I know of, but I also wouldn't even know if I did. Like if I had an ex-boyfriend that called me once a week for the last 25 years and was like, what are you doing? I would be like, we're just good friends.
It wouldn't
occur to me that like somehow he was trying in any way, like it never ever occurs to me that anyone, including the man I'm engaged to, is like trying to get into a relationship with me.
Uh-huh.
Which really is too bad for him. But yeah, there is something interesting about that. Like as you get a little older and you're like, what do I want my life to be? And then it's like, well, I could either be the queen, the most beautiful, the ugliest woman in the world to everyone else, or the most beautiful woman in the world to this guy. Because he already took the chance away for me to be beautiful and like adored by anyone else.
Yeah.
That shit's deep.
Yeah. It's so dark.
In a weird way. Now that I think about it, I think she made the right choice.
See, totally support her.
Yeah. Who's she going to marry? Dog that doesn't know anything about her? I also have a theory that people, and I've said this before, but that people remember you at the age that they fall in love with you. Like they remember you that way. You're sort of frozen in time, which is why all of these like fat people on Facebook then get married at their high school reunions when they like go back. And I don't mean to say fat, but I'm talking about this is I've already dug a terrible hole.
I'll put myself in the fat person category and dig our way out.
I should say these middle-aged people that perhaps had given up on love because they're divorced or whatever, or they think like, will it happen for me again? And then there's that guy who was like sat behind you in math class and is like,
I mean, I love that.
What do you say?
I love the
idea
that
you see
you
as a 16-year-old girl. How wonderful is that?
I think that's so wonderful.
It's
and it's true because I do feel like the friends of mine that I see depending on where, at what point I met them, I do feel like no one looks any different to me.
Isn't that the greatest moment ever? Gorgeous. When people say, you look exactly the same.
Everyone, and you're like, people
all I
do
is stare at my face I and wonder it. When it's going to stop falling off my cigar.
I mean that.
And what
look
I should be
same.
Doing about it, and I'm not doing anything about it. Like, literally, I'm like, my face is falling off.
You're
I don't know.
Crazy because you know what? I met you probably 10 years ago. You look 10 years younger than you
I'll
are
take
to me.
It.
You look exactly the same.
I'll take it.
You look exactly
As
the same.
As do you, by the way.
We look exactly
you look
the
better.
Same.
How do you like that? Even more beautiful than the first day I met you.
I don't know.
Even more beautiful
now,
than
I'm
the first day
I met you. Now I'm clueless too. Are you coming on to me? Now I assume everyone is coming on to me. So once again, we are the perfect person.
Again,
we balance
make a great
it all.
Match.
How we balance great, it
you'd
all.
Be like, this is happening. I'd be like, I think we should go home. There's nothing happening. You'd be like, this is happening. It's happening.
And if you, well, you've
if
always
I ever
been
need a wing woman again.
Oh, anytime. Yeah. Anytime. Now please stop flirting with me. No, but were you always like that your whole life? Did you always feel like they're not flirting with me? Did that evolve out of something? Or were you just sort of... Did you always feel like, well, I'm the friend for good reason or for bad reason?
I would say I am the friend.
Even in the relationship?
Even in my friend's relationship from 7 years. No, like in life, I'm the friend. But I have a weird thing where like, even if I think I'm the friend, I probably still think I'm better than everybody who's not the friend.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Present company excluded.
Well, thank you. We both know I'm not going to take anything personally. I'll take it all as a compliment.
Not better than, but it's like, I don't know. I guess I kind of feel like if you want that, I'm not that. So right. More power to you. But if this is what you're after, you really shouldn't look any further.
Uh-huh. But also, I won't take you seriously. And it will take a long time for
well,
this to
evolve.
Well,
I also think
I
deserve, you know, like not deserve. It's not a deserve thing. That's not the right word. I guess I still have sort of, and again, none of this is practically applied in my life at all. I sound like Rosie fucking O'Donnell right now. I'm just going to come out on your podcast right now as a lesbian who is in love with posters of Tom Cruise. That's what I'm going to come out as.
Great.
I deserve Tom Cruise. No, I don't know. Actually, I don't really know what the answer is about, like, about what I think the limit is of, like, what I could get or not get or something like that. I don't know. It takes so much for me to respond to another person, which is unfortunate. I wish I was not that way. I wish that I had been like, what's a night?
Did you have guys who were interested in you, like, when you were an adolescent that kind of
that
came
I was
at
horrible
you?
To? Yeah.
Came at you and
or
you were
like,
not you, not you,
gross.
Not
and
you,
no,
not
and
you.
Please don't ask that question again. Like, that kind of
did
thing.
Did you have someone who seemed unattainable, like, not
definitely.
Because you didn't deserve them, but because you thought, that's what I should have?
I don't think it was a should. Don't. I just think it was like, oh. Like, I think it was more of a, like, you know, you see something and it appeals to you. I don't think it was like, well, when after I shoot up the school, they'll all realize that I deserved to be the prom queen. We didn't have prom queen kings and queens in my school.
I don't even know.
I always had crushes, if that's what you mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I had crushes and that I was not terribly interested in the people that were interested in me.
Which I feel like is pretty common, right? I mean, I think, I don't know, part of me feels like that's kind of the most fun thing in high school is
the yearning.
The yearning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and I think what's dangerous about that.
The worst
sure
is when you get your hands
before,
on a crush. Because then you're like, oh no. What's, then you get to the.
I could break bad on so many levels.
Date three.
So many levels.
Or not date three, but like when you're like, oh no, please.
Episode
don't,
seven
no, please
of
don't.
The podcast.
Let's not talk about gay marriage or, you know what I mean? Like, and how
don't,
you don't believe
don't,
in
don't,
it.
Don't speak. Hands on lips.
Don't speak.
Fingers on lips.
Ellen Burstyn in the Bullets Over Broadway.
Yeah. I think
that's the danger of idealizing people, I think.
It's the danger of idealizing people, and it's also even above and beyond that. I do feel like I was thinking about this the other day, too. It's not the first time I've talked about it, but that the idea that I really associated, I think I really clicked with that yearning when I was in high school, and I think that kind of stuck with me in an unhealthy way for a lot of time, which was like, if I felt comfortable, there was something amiss about that. And I needed to feel a sense of like doom. Or I needed to feel a sense of like, but alas, that could never be. Like, I needed to feel that. I'm disturbed by that. And I think, I mean, I'm sure it's the media, but.
The media that caused you to feel that way?
Just the idea of that, like...
You mean, like, pretty woman?
Love should be this... Yeah, well, yeah. Just in general, this idea that...
You have to suffer for it.
That there's suffering and that there is a sort of, like... that it's all consuming.
It's a good question. I do think it's kind of tied up in the choice of career, though. Because I think that you... I can't speak for you, naturally. I can barely speak for myself. I'll speak for Scott the dog if he'll allow it.
I believe he will. But he really got chided earlier.
He's wearing a cone right now, so he can't speak for himself. I think that when you have like a secret longing to do something, which I'm going to assume you had from a young age, that you're not one of those, maybe I'm wrong, but you're not one of those people who was like, I was going to be a sculptor. And then somebody said, come do stand up or whatever. But maybe you are. I don't know.
I feel like I had a longing that was not so secret, but then I just like let that longing completely die for a long time. And then it kind of came back to me.
Yes. But always in your heart, you were like, I know the thing I would like to do.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'll ever
do
it, but I go to the movies and I see people and I'm like, I want to do that.
That's true.
I'll get a chance to do it or not, I want
that. Never went away. Glad you really broke that open for me, because I think I thought that went away. And now that you put it like that, it never really went away.
No, and I think that that's part of that same thing. Like, not just like, oh, I'm casting myself in a movie about my own adolescence. Like, it's not that simple. It's more just kind of this, I think it's the idea of like getting out of the place that you're in and wanting more. And so somehow nothing around you could possibly be good enough.
Interesting.
Because it's like, you're like, I'm in the wrong place. This isn't I'm not in this movie. Right. I'm in like the next level of Mario Brothers. I'm not on this level.
Right.
I'm not just going to bounce around, jump off mushrooms for the rest of my life.
Is that what you felt?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Have I achieved any of those dreams? I'll go with no.
But doesn't everyone, I mean, I don't know that many people who feel like they did it. Like, I've arrived at the place that I said. It's every new thing is still, you're still with yourself. So it still feels like.
Yeah. And it's also like there's a reality to the work that takes place in order to do that thing. And also there's a real price to it. Like, you suffer a lot on a day, like psychically, on a daily basis about like, why do I do this? Why am I torturing myself?
Yeah.
And I think that torture is a similar torture, because you're just like, well, at the end of this, there has to be something good.
Right.
And then also on the days when you have like a great, there are days where you work on certain shows or movies or whatever. And you're like, and I don't mean you're like, I like certain shows, movies, like whatever, like that's just the business. No, like that's character number two.
Character two.
For those that are keeping track of
I don't know how I feel about that person.
No, where you're just like, whatever, it's like a business and I work in Hollywood. And like, it's like, you know, it's like a good days and bad days, good days and bad days. But there are certain jobs that you do where you're like, you're just like, okay, I hope I don't do this wrong, and I just want to come here and do a good job. And you always are like, I want to come here and do a good job and not screw up and leave. But then there are certain days where it's kind of like, it feels the same way as it feels either when you get to do your show on stage, you know, like where you're in control of your own comedy or whatever it is, or the thing that got you into this scrape in the first place, which is just that feeling of like, there is an elation to that and like a freedom to that. And so that in a way is the same as like, I don't know if my analogy is going to hold any water, but it is kind of the same as like, and then the captain of the football team said, Janet, you're the smartest, prettiest girl I've ever met. Would you go to the prom with me? And then you went, and then of course ended up getting diarrhea and not being able to, and not being able to go. You'd have to go home early. Something terrible would have to happen. But that same moment of like,
yeah,
same similar feeling, I think.
Well, what kind of guy? Now, this is what made
I
me
might
think
have just
of it,
made all of that up.
No, I think what you're saying makes sense. I think you're right that there's
a
longing
live,
built in that can spill over into a lot of different things. But when you said
or they
the
get
thing
conflated
about,
when you're in high school, they fuse at an age where those are the primary things, which is like your public self and your or actually it's just your private self, because I think at that age you think no one could possibly understand. Everyone always thinks no one understands how I feel, and so you spend there's a lot of internal struggle, and also your like dumb brain it doesn't work yet, and you don't have enough experience in life to know like this is a pattern or that's a bad thing or like danger. But I don't know, I think for me there's always an instinct that you have that you're like, maybe this isn't so good for me. And I think also, though, for dum-dums, they maybe don't have that. When people are like, listen to your gut. It's like, I don't know if dumb people have a gut.
Right. Yeah.
Which brings us back to cereal.
No, believe me.
Which also
believe
takes,
me, that's what I was
I have
thinking
to say,
about, was this idea
it
of
all
like,
takes
when
place
young
in high school.
People commit crimes,
Someone it's said to me the other day, do you think that so Jay, like, why would he have just helped him? Why would he do that? And I said, you know, they weren't even good friends. So why would Adnan call him and like, how did that work and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe there's a part of him, which I don't know about the Adnan of it all. Like, I'm not going to
next week maybe we'll find out more
on that one. But on the Jay of it, because we know Jay was involved.
Right.
Like, Jay has implicated himself. Adnan, it's, I mean, probably, maybe, I don't know. But, like, it's all so circumstantial or circumspect or whatever. But Jay, for sure, has, like, he took them to the car.
Right.
And he said he saw the body. And they used the shovels from his house, but yet they never raided his house or anything. But anyway.
Spoiler alert, guys. Spoiler alert.
But that's all. That's all. Yeah, that's all from, like, last week's stuff. But somebody said, like, well, why would he help? And I was like, because if he really was this weird Dennis Rodman kid, I mean, it's like a fucking John Hughes movie. It's like John Hughes and Edward Wright fused together,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, they just do stupid things. Mm-hmm. And maybe he, when he was like, I guess people thought of me as like the criminal element of Woodlawn. That's my almost third, that's second and a half, 2.5, character 2.5, my Jay impersonation. But like, he referred to himself as the criminal element of Woodlawn. There was obviously a self-mythologizing of that with him. And I feel like if somebody was like, dude, you got to help me out. Like, I got a body in my trunk, or we got to do this thing, or I got to take care of this. I see a world where this kid who was like the weirdo, where he's like, I'm not going to say he does it for a thrill, but where like there's a dumb part of kids that age where it's like they don't understand consequences in the same way because they don't live in reality.
Right.
So like there's a part where you're like, oh yeah, this is like a horror movie.
I think that makes sense. It does, because
and
I think there's a moment where you're in the middle of it and you're like,
well, fuck.
Yes. You're very much onto something. And then you're thinking you're in too deep because that still happens to me today, right? I mean, we are so hypersaturated, and obviously that we are talking about something that took place a long time ago. God only knows what people are feeling
and
now with the amount of video games
and
like,
all
that kind of stuff. But I definitely think like I've gone around and around in my mind a little bit with the idea even of the same thing with Adnan, because when I think about, there are a few things. Number one, I totally was living a double life, which these guys know, when I was in high school, where, you know, I had to go to church with my mom and I was, you know, doing drugs and having sex and all that kind of stuff on the other side, but still getting good grades. And I feel like I can sort of relate to the idea of like going down kind of a hard road, but like coming to a screeching halt. And everyone would have said about me like, well, yeah, she did this, this, and this, but she never would have blank. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And also the idea of the casualness about relationships in high school too. I mean, I definitely had like dear friends, but I also had like, I would get wasted when my dad was out of town and let people I just met stay at my house.
Right.
So the idea that he would give a cell phone and a car to somebody who deals, you know, who gives him his weed, was like the most conceivable thing in the world to me.
Oh,
I was like,
totally.
Oh my God, I probably would have let people stay there when I wasn't even home. They could have robbed my dad blind. I was just stupid. I was stupid.
Well, and the idea that like at this suburban high school, which look, I don't know much about the climate of the high school and like how much crime there was or wasn't or whatever.
I think it's considered a pretty rough school.
Is it?
The magnet program is a tiny circle
and
inside
then
of a
kids
pretty
outside
rough
then.
Baltimore school.
And so Jay, but actually
program.
The world that we're living inside of is actually the magnet. Like for all intents and purposes, the magnet program is the high school.
The magnet program
and
is
Jay
Anon
is right on the
Stephanie,
outside of that.
And he's on the outside
Jay,
of that. And
Jay,
and
Adnan,
graduated.
And Hay were all in the magnet program. And that's like
Jay
the,
was never in
I mean,
magnet.
I'm sorry, oh, Adnan, yeah. Stephanie and Hay.
Yeah.
And then Jay was like this half bad kid. And so when he talks about the criminal element of Woodlawn, I feel like that's how he was perceived by like the smart, rich kid, not rich, but like the smart kids whose families cared about them or
right,
whatever.
Right.
Not to make a
and that,
huge
but that he was straddling
judgment,
it in a way that meant that
so
he was not so far into.
When it's like, dude, you should call Jay. Like he sells weed. He could probably get you a gun. He could probably get you, you know, whatever that is, that rabbit hole you go down. I mean, that is, I guess that part is sort of like in the Adnan's guilty scenario.
And I do feel like I had that, you know, I was like spending the night at drug dealers' houses and it wasn't as, I mean, obviously Tucson, Arizona is not Baltimore, but like there's a huge drug scene among minors in Tucson, and the sort of like closeness to the border just means all kinds of shit's happening.
Yeah, great prices
and I do
too.
Feel, yeah, and I do feel like, I mean, really great.
Great prices.
Solid prices. Probably Coke just with a lot Coke of really scary stuff.
Coke isn't just for rich kids anymore when you live in Tucson, Arizona.
Finally. The great equalizer.
So much for pretty and pink. Yeah, the preppy crowd.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But yeah, but I was even saying, like, God, I really apologize to those of you who don't care about this podcast. But just consider this
I do think
this
what you're saying is still
story,
relevant. Yeah.
About a great, like, movie or whatever.
Yeah.
But this idea of, even with Adnan, like, the idea that I remember how, that's why I'm so interested in adolescence and why the podcast is, I mean, why Serial is also fascinating to me on that level of like, oh God, it's already true crime, which I'm fascinated by. And now you're making it about teenagers. Like those are my obsessions. True crime is not my obsession, but teenagers are.
I'm the other way.
And you're the other
way. Yet again.
But like,
I hate teenagers.
But I mean, the idea that your brains are still cooking. The idea that I remember the fucking like intensity of everything of like not being able to sleep because someone said something mean about me, or not being able to sleep because I was so infatuated with someone that I would just read the note they wrote me over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And just the like throbbing of it all, and not even needing, you don't even need drugs to feel that. You just feel high on hormones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I can imagine like jealousy spilling out into this place where as a young person with like a psychological understanding of what's right and wrong, of course you have that mostly, but this weird fantasy thing that takes over where you do kind of feel better if you fantasize doing something really horrible to the person who's hurt you, and that somehow you might thread that needle to the point where you kind of play act your way into a situation where you could maybe do that.
Interesting.
And then you fucking do. Do you know what I mean? Like you push yourself into a corner where you're like, oh my God, now I'm doing it. Now I'm watching myself do it. Like I'm depersonalizing and now I'm just watching myself. Like I'm watching
a movie.
Well,
there's like a fragility and an insanity to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, the study or whatever.
But
they say that that is a like thing that they say that teenagers are basically insane, that their brains are not developed and that they're insane. See, I was the opposite kind of kid in the sense that like, and I wish I'd had there's all these little things where you're like, oh, I just wish that I didn't have certain personality traits because not that I don't have a good time and life isn't a big bowl of cherries, but that just certain things that you worry about or have like worry, actually the meaning of the word worry, where it's just like, why are these things worrying you? And they just do.
Yeah.
But, I just always felt like everyone was so fucking stupid. Like teenagers are so stupid.
Even as a teenager, you looked around
where it was
and
like,
felt removed.
Yeah, okay, we can go to your house and have a party, but like someone's gonna call the cops.
Well, where does that come from? Do you have brothers and sisters?
Tons.
Okay, so you were like, were you sort of taking care of yourself in a sense, or was you? Were you
close-knit
family?
I think it was probably. I think part of it is, it's just like being sensible. Like I do think that's like something I came here with, you know what I mean? Meaning like an ability to reason and to see the end of something as
like
opposed
a pragmatism
to like,
and a sort of,
So I wish that I was better in, I think this is why I like to perform, is that like in the moment type stuff, I feel very free from all of that, like scenarioizing. I'm very good at like, playing things out, which is, there's just like a lot of intellectual discourse in my mind of like this leads to that and I can get there quickly, as opposed to like talking it out forever. It's like you can just see the end at the beginning.
And you've always been able to do that.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's something that makes me perceptive about people and like certain qualities. Like I think I can sniff out patterns that it's like, I can't tell you why, but I can tell you that this person is this kind of person and this thing is going to happen. And sometimes I think that comes off as being very judgmental, which I think sometimes it is. But also there's a bit of that kind of like, it turns out to be true more often than it doesn't. And maybe that is from being in a big family, growing up in a big family, and I'm the fifth of six, and seeing all kinds of behavior play out around me. So it may just be that. It may not be that I necessarily came, maybe I came here with like a logical mind, but that then you're just exposed to like a constant social experiment.
Right.
So you sort of see, and like some of them are smarter than others, and some of them are more emotional than others, and some of them are more impulsive than others, and some, you know, so that you're like, oh, here goes, like,
yeah,
that stack's gonna blow, and I think we all know where that's gonna end up.
Yeah.
So
where was this, by the way? Is this
outside Boston? Yeah, in Newton, Massachusetts.
What was the social climate like around you? Was it moneyed? Was it poor? Was it a mix?
It was an upper middle class suburb.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how much of the sort?
But I went to public school, but it was like one of those public schools that is always like 10 best high schools in the country.
Okay. So didn't feel like you were exposed to the criminal element?
No, actually, this is going to sound really racist, but Boston's a pretty racist place, so.
Perfect,
anyway,
bring it.
Anyway, where isn't, I suppose. But we had, because of the whole busing thing that took place in the 70s or whatever it was, there was this program called METCO, and that was a bunch of urban kids would go to school in your school. Or in our school, because it was their school too. But that was always all through high school, all through junior high school and high school and
elementary.
Well,
that's basically
what happens
in cereal, right? Is there these magnet programs. The magnet program, I mean, the word magnet is because it's supposed to attract people. Like, I always went to
magnet
schools.
This, I think, was just a districting thing. I don't think it was like, oh, the smartest kids get to come. If anything, the only program I remember with it, I mean, there was the AP crowd, you know, like, which I was a part of that, I would say. Advanced placement meaning. But so there was always like different curriculums, but in terms of like the kids that came geographically from somewhere else, that was just geographical.
Yeah.
I don't actually know on their side of things if they would try to get into certain schools or if it was that certain neighborhoods, I don't know how it was districted.
Or they were just
whatever.
Like, you're going to the school because we're trying to sort of.
But that was a big thing in Boston. It was that they tried to basically break down the sort of, you know, class and racial boundaries.
And was that effective, or was it just like cliques of people from different backgrounds who all stuck together anyway?
Probably at the end of the day, that. But I also think that the school I went to was a much more realistic place and like a realistic version of the world than if I had gone to private school or whatever. So I think that like I had an understanding of like not just being like a sheltered kid from Newton or whatever, that you kind of like other elements come into the school and you learn from each other and always like, you know, and I had like great friends and best friends that were like black from kindergarten, you know what I mean? So it was all kind of like you'd get mixed in, but I actually think it got worse when it got more segregated when you got to like high school and junior high school. Actually, thinking back on it now, and I haven't thought about this in a while, I really remember that. Mm. I remember feeling like, oh,
you know what? I think
those kids aren't friends with me anymore. Like I remember
too.
There were certain kids, certain
stuff, a separation starts happening, especially in the money stuff. And I didn't
have
any money.
That was a bummer because also there's a lot of posturing, you know what I mean? Where it's like, you start hanging out and I'm talking about of the sort of minority, meaning like, because it was a smaller percentage of the school that you would be friends with them in class. And then they would in the hallways have their own clique. And I remember feeling kind of hurt by that. And actually, I'll never forget this. And this was a terrible, terrible moment because there were so many great kids. Like I had so many close kids. And if I look back, I know I sound like a white asshole right now, but this is actually what happened. So fuck.
I think it's a common.
So fuck all of you.
but the angriest
it's just true. But I remember, and like if I look at the pictures from my birthday parties or kindergarten school, or by the way, there are about two pictures that exist of me as a child. But if I remember any pictures that might have existed, because I was number five. So it was like literally there are four pictures of me. Uh-huh. I found a picture of myself as an infant like last year or 2 years ago.
I felt like,
and I was like, does anyone even know if I was ever a baby or if I was like just hatched out of an egg? I'm not sure. Because I feel like an alien. So, but I remember this girl, and also I had a real like, which is not a flattering quality, but I had a real sense of like justice as a kid, meaning like you shouldn't be picking on this person and this person shouldn't be behaving this way. And like, you know, I wasn't like such a pain in the ass know-it-all because I was still like a fun and a goof and like a weird, you know, probably sugar-fueled clown of some kind.
I think you and I probably would have been friends.
I'd like to think so, Janet. I'd like to think so. But I didn't like it when kids were like mean to other kids, or and I felt like people couldn't speak up for themselves. And so I'm like, I will. I don't care, because I was always speaking up in my own family anyway. So I wasn't scared of, like, I think that probably my siblings weren't crazy about that. That I was like, what? It's a democracy. And they were like, it's not a democracy. You're the fifth. And I'm like, I'll say it anyway.
Yeah.
That's the character of me. I was doing the character of my inner voice.
It's really good. It's very meta. What's the age difference between you, like, the
six kids in 8 years? Six kids in 8 years.
Okay.
And I remember, anyway, this girl threw a water balloon at me as I got off the bus. And I also was not accustomed to being picked on. I mean, maybe like picked on, like, I don't know, somebody probably called me fat or something like that. But, it doesn't matter.
Oh, boy.
But you know, like picked on in the way that people are, but I was never like a victim. Let's put it that way. There's some kids that are just like
relentless,
put them in a trash can over and over again. Yeah. And it's just going to keep happening.
Yeah.
And somebody threw a water balloon at me, this girl. And I was like, and I remember getting off the bus. It was as I was walking off the bus, and I was probably wearing a fabulous new outfit since I was very into clothes at that time. And I was furious. And I said something like, I don't remember what I said. I would not have said what the fuck, because I was, didn't speak that way at that time. But essentially, like, what the fuck and why did you do that? And like,
but that you even confronted her is different than what a lot of people would do.
You're fucking busted, basically, kind of thing. And she slapped me across the face so hard.
Wow.
And I just, and it was like, it was totally stunning to me. Like the idea that that would even happen. I don't remember why I'm telling the story, but it just was like totally stunning, but it was kind of part of the, oh, 'cause I think that I then had a friend who was standing next to her, like someone who I thought was my friend. And it was like, that was one of those moments where I was like, oh, okay. So you're not my friend. Like you're with the people that throw the water balloons. We grew up together. Basically for the last, you know, 6 years or whatever it is, kindergarten to seventh grade. And now we're different. Yeah. And that was like a super depressing moment, like more depressing than being slapped, which is like, you know, not a great feeling, but like also that kind of violence is so irrational to me. Like even then I was just like, who does that? Like, right. That's like animal behavior. That's right. Not, you know, but I just remember being like, oh, okay. Huh. So now we're different, but like you set that rule. I didn't set that rule. I mean, maybe like
the
powers of society set that rule, but like between in a personal level,
but like even you that you had that perspective, which obviously is not animal behavior because it's like if whatever it's whatever you grew up around and stuff.
Oh, my like, family were animals.
The difference between you and me is that, you know, in that situation, like I probably would have fought back because I have like a dangerous surge of adrenaline.
I never picked fights, but if
somebody was picking on someone else or if someone picked on me, I would have this like very reckless surge of adrenaline. So if somebody kicked me or did something, I would totally. See, I had that.
I would never get in a public fight, but I used to fight my brothers all the time. We used to like wrestle the shit out of
How many girls versus how many boys?
Three oldest girls. Then I have an older brother and a younger brother. Mm-hmm. But we used to like wrestle the shit out of each other all the time. And like, and my brothers were like sort of small. Mm-hmm. And so I was like taller than my brother for a while, my older brother for a while. And I used to like try and scratch his eyes out. I mean, like crazy shit.
Your parents were like, listen, it's a good workout for them.
I can't even believe now that I'm like a parent age or like an adult. I can't even imagine the shit that went on.
That's so many.
But there was a lot of physical fighting.
Was that like a goal? Was it, this is, I don't mean any
bed knobs and broomsticks. Remember that Disney movie? That's how I used to describe
it. Bed knobs
and broomsticks.
Did your parents want a big family or was it more like, well, we just keep having kids? Like, did you have a sense of,
I asked my mother that question once. And also when you grew up in a big family, I mean, in my estimation anyway, that I was never like, this is strange.
Right.
Like I was like, whatever.
Yeah, you know what
there's
you,
more
you
people.
Know what you know.
There's always something going on.
Right.
Which I will say I do miss that. I miss the like action. There's always, you come home, there's always like at least two stories of something that have taken place. And I miss that. Like part of me wishes I almost, I don't know if I'll have kids or I won't, but part of me wishes I had like started having kids like 5 years ago so that I was like getting the dirt from them now. You know what I mean? Right, like that they're like coming home from school with like dirt on me. like just the like fun of being in the kitchen and being like, and because my mother was always very kind. I mean, there's a lot of like of that. My mom attitude and Rana, the kind of like always like everything's a fact thing. Mm-hmm. And so that there was a lot of that like, well, you know, so-and-so shouldn't do that because of such and such, and be like, mm-hmm, you know, like, wait, your original question was,
oh, your parents, like the plan.
Oh, I said to my mother once, like, why?
Yeah.
Did you have all these children? And she said that they both wanted a big family. She was from a big family. She was one of five. My father was one of three. And she said, I mean, I think I know the sort of like ultimate psychological answer to the question, but I know the answer that she gave me, which was, she said, you know, they had three girls. We had Elizabeth, then we had Rachel, and we had Sarah. We always wanted a boy. So we had three girls. We had this boy. We had Joshua. Wonderful. And then we thought, one boy and all these girls, you know, and then we had you. And then we said, 5, 6, what's the difference? And we had Jonathan. And that's how she said it to me. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And then I repeated it back to her once. And she was like, I never said that. And I was like, that's not one I came up with.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a good
very
one.
Very specific. Yeah.
Yeah. And
very
it's specific, like super reason. Specific. But I think actually the real reason was that my mother had a very, hi, Scott. I know it's going to get really serious right now, Scott. Hi, Scott. I love Scott. Scott's very cute. Is he a husky?
Very sweet
partially?
Face. Part husky, part perhaps.
Like collie?
Chow, part Australian Shepherd. Oh, chow.
He's got a chow
perhaps.
Head, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he a black tongue?
No, no.
Because that's a husky and a chow thing, yeah.
Oh, interesting. I had no idea.
But he does have two different color eyes, or the other
no,
one does?
No, he just has brown eyes, and then she has blue eyes, the husky.
But anyway, she had a very chaotic family, and her mother kind of left. Scott has come over here to cuddle with me. And yes. Even with a cone, he has come all the way around the furniture just to make it happen. Well, it gets him extra attention.
Yeah, and it's very soft. So it creates like an epilogue.
Ooh, it's a little stinky in there, though. How long has he been in there?
He has bad breath.
He has horrible breath.
He's 12, so he has like...
rotten teeth and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. as he lays his head on my lap. Yeah, anyway, she had a really chaotic, like her mother left, which never happened at that time. But if she's still like lived in the same town. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I think my mom kind of became the mother. And I think there was a bit of like kind of one that she sort of thrived on the chaos, but two of like doing it her way, like doing it the right way, you know, like, oh, I'm going to do it my way instead of the way it was done to me. Sort of.
Yeah. What were you, cause I'm going to get into this MASH game in a few minutes. What,
do it.
What were you passionate about when you were a teen? Were you really into reading and books? Did you like music? Were you
I did sports and stuff, but I did really love movies, and I started to love movies when I was like, we always watched them growing up because that was what was on TV. You know what I mean? It was like cartoons or movies or like The Love Boat, of course, the greatest thing ever, The Love Boat and all that stuff. But I remember, and this is so cheesy and whatever, but I remember I went to see, I think my dad took me to Cambridge to see a movie, to like a friend of his owned a movie theater, like a little small movie theater.
Yeah.
And we went to see Cinema Paradiso, which is...
What a great place to see a small movie.
Well, that was the only place to see a movie like that because that was... You had to go to like an art house theater to see movies like that in those days. And I guess to some extent you kind of still do have to do that.
Yeah.
But it's a funny movie to be your sort of like first foreign film, even though you don't realize you've probably watched foreign films before, but like subtitles and all that. Because it's a movie about someone who loves movies. So it's a kind of, it's a bit sort of meta in that way.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I mean, what's the word? Sincere or something like that. But I also think when you're young, I mean, I don't know how I would feel about it as much as if I saw it as an adult, but I was pretty like open-hearted. And also you just have like, I think I felt pretty dissatisfied. I wasn't like a, like kicking the can on the way home from school kid. I was like a pretty popular kid, I guess. But like, I just always felt, as we were discussing earlier, I just had that feeling of like, what is out there for me? Mm-hmm. This isn't it. And that, and there's a lot, that movie is very like hopeful and beautiful and romantic and sincere and also like really small time at the same time. And that kind of led me on this kick about like loving, about wanting to see more foreign films, mm-hmm. and wanting to see just more independent movies. And then that started to be kind of like the heyday of independent cinema at that time. That was when like Miramax became the like thing.
Totally.
And
I know exactly. I feel like
I have been in love. And also I used to do this thing where I would like pick actors before they happened. And so like,
that's great. Cause it kind of falls in line with what you're saying about sort of like having a sense of a map of a person's behavior. And now you kind of have this sort of like relationship to,
I guess,
anticipating something.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of true. Like you would just see some, I mean, it's anyone who had like, knew what they were looking at, mm-hmm. I guess, would be like, oh, that kid's got something. You know what I mean? Like, and, but I was in love with Daniel Day-Lewis since I was like 16.
That totally
when I saw him in like My Beautiful Laundrette, when he played like a gay punk, like not even like, it wasn't even like I went and then, and I was so disappointed in his role in A Room with a View, which was a movie I loved, but like for, to have him play like Cecil, the,
so
the sort of like praying mantis, like the prig. And I was like, it's not right at all. It's a waste of him.
Yeah.
But poor,
God forbid he have range.
But poor Julian Sands, never much came of him, but he was great in that.
He was an Impromptu. That's another one where that was slightly later than what you're talking about. Yeah. But speaking of that, that was very much like, that was the first time I saw Hugh Grant and I was like,
oh yeah, he's great in that.
He's going to be.
Yeah.
But he's, but that's also like a very un-Hugh Grant role. Like in many ways.
That was, I think,
he was so
after
frail,
Four Weddings
so,
probably.
You know,
was that after Four Weddings?
No, it was before.
Really?
Because I definitely saw Four Weddings and Funeral.
Yeah.
That was, it was way before.
But I mean, and in Schindler's List, whatever, everybody I'm sure saw that and felt like, oh, Ralph Fiennes, but he was sort of like fat and disgusting and whatever in that, and I was like, oh my goodness, that is my dream man, which also was ridiculous because I was like such, actually the thing I was most obsessed with probably from when I was a small kid was the Holocaust, and like the inability to, and I think that probably speaks to that kind of like
documentary,
the logic thing also. It's like the inability, it's like at the end of it, I could never put the math never adds up.
Yeah.
So it's like that to me, I think
that is, I think you're right. That's
interesting about human nature where you're like, wait, but how do they do it? Because especially when you're a kid, you can't comprehend. And I wonder how little kids feel about Syria and stuff like that now. And I also think it's a real tragedy that people, and I like joke about this a lot on the Ron and Beverly podcast or whatever, but I'm not kidding. I think it's terrible that people have decided that children basically like shouldn't know anything until they're like 12.
Right.
You know what I mean? It used to be like the news was on. So that's the news. And it doesn't mean that you lost your innocence by like learning about these terrible things. It certainly made the world like a more complicated and scarier place. But I feel like there's all this weird sheltering that goes on. And I don't mean like the internet's crazy. I don't mean that like you should be able to see anything you want. But I always watched R-rated movies and I always watched the news and watched 60 Minutes every single weekend with my parents or my dad or whatever. And I feel like kids don't know anything about what goes on in the world beyond it. And it's like, it's not bad enough that we're already raising all these narcissists who like take pictures of themselves. But I think that's going to cause a real problem when it's like their turn to like be in charge of the world, if that makes any sense.
No, it's interesting because I feel like there's an in-between. There is sort of an in-between between kind of our generation and the and kids than the way they're being raised now. And I don't know. I mean, I don't have kids, so I'm probably not the best person to talk about it. But I did think a lot and talk a lot about this when I was at HuffPost Live. Mm-hmm. But the sort of the in-between of people who were, it was before the kind of like clang down happened with parents, and it was, and but it was after we grew up without the internet. So there is kind of a sweet spot. And I don't know if it's millennials or what, but there are kids who know a ton and are like really plugged into the world because they didn't, they pushed past the sort of like thing that happens now, which is like there's too much information, so you get none.
Yes,
you know, and that the,
where
and
they
I do
well
feel
they were like getting their information. maybe it was more like a funnel almost, where like they were getting there, or like an upside down funnel where they were like, you get the initial piece of information from like a small source and then you have the ability to then go down the rabbit hole of that. I mean, in a way, like how we're talking about experiencing cereal, it's like you get the information and then you can go as deep or as superficial as you want about how you deal with it.
Yeah.
And I do think that in between generation was like, they didn't have to go to like the library to find things out. They could just spend, I mean, I will sometimes be like, where does the time go? When I start reading something and then it's like, fuck, it's 2 hours later. And you're like, okay, that's not a productive day.
Right.
But at the same time, that information is useful. I don't know. I feel like if I had kids, and I'm probably wrong about this, I'm sure I'm wrong about it, but I feel like I would like take my fucking kids to Auschwitz. Like, I feel like that's important.
All of my Jewish friends growing, and not to say that only Jews know about it or are interested in, I was certainly educated about the Holocaust from a very
and
early
age. Like,
but all my friends
were
Jewish, and they were
nature.
Like very, very present to what happened from a very young age.
I feel like I would fucking take them there. Yeah, I went there this summer. I'd never been. It was somewhere I always wanted to go. And the reason that I went, and it was at the end of this other long like work trip, and I was kind of like, ah, maybe I'll just like stay at the hotel for two more days and then go home, and I'm tired and whatever. And I was like, I can't think of too many things that are on my bucket list, for lack of a better description, where I was like, oh, if I die tomorrow, not that I would know because I would be dead, but if I died tomorrow and I didn't do this and I was this close to this thing that I've always wanted to do and I didn't do it, I would be incredibly disappointed.
Yeah.
And whereas like having another swimming three more laps in the hotel pool, whatever. And I drove myself like 11 hours to go and did, or I guess it was like 8 up and 9 back or something like that. And it was fabulous, but I never do shit like that. And I'm like, oh, I'd like to think I'm the kind of person that would do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have an inquisitive mind, but I don't always make the effort to go and see those places or do those things. And it was something I always wanted to do. And I was so glad that I did it, but I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to come back here. Like, I mean, I don't mean I can't wait to come back here, but it just like that stuff's important.
It's very important.
And that
I
shit is like disappearing. But I will say one really encouraging thing was that it was packed.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, that's good.
That is good.
Yeah.
This is the most intense segue I have ever made from talking about the Holocaust.
Yeah, but also like these are just
playing
things.
A MASH game.
Yeah, let's do it. Are you kidding? That's me in a nutshell. I feel like that's who I am. Like,
we really did it.
I feel like that's me.
Well, this is where I want to start then. I want to start with, I'm actually going to dip back into a few minutes ago and say, for this MASH game, I would like my first category for you to be, give me three independent movies that you can go into and just like be, and it's a world. It's the world of Room with a View, or it's the world, and you can just sort of be and mingle, and you're not replacing a character. It's just an imaginary land that you get to pop into.
Oh my God.
I know this like flies in the face of your pragmatism.
It does, because I also hate the question, what's your favorite movie? Which is like, that question.
No, it's like
a movie I wish
also,
I could live inside of.
This is improvisation. This is, you don't have any, you don't get to decide what your favorite movie is. I'm just asking
very
for the three that come into your mind now. They could be your least favorite movies.
Well, A Room with a View is in there now because we talked about it, but I don't actually know if that's true.
I would have liked to go into a room with a view like that.
At that time,
of them all like bathing
playing
outside.
Playing lawn tennis.
And the sort of, yeah.
And then going to the watering hole together. Yeah. That would be Under a Loggia by Elena Lavish. Eleanor Lavish. I love that. And she goes, Under a Loggia by Elena Lavish. Eleanor Lavish. what's another one? God, I don't know why this is such a hard question. I feel like this would be like
only
my favorite question to answer.
I know, but it's a lot of pressure. Well, you could go into my beautiful laundrette and make out with Daniel
No,
Day-Lewis.
I don't like that whole weird, gross 80s depressing land. And I love Mike Lee. That's something I was really into, was Mike Lee movies, but I wouldn't want to live with those people either.
Mm-hmm. I know, I wouldn't either. You're right.
I was going to say Metropolitan. It's really a lie. It's a lie. I just truly...
I love that movie.
My dream I always dream about being like the male characters in the movie. Since I came out on the podcast already, I feel like I can tell you. But like, you know, people talk about going to baseball, like fantasy camp. I want to go to like English, like Brideshead Revisited. That mm-hmm. would be one for me.
Okay, great.
Which came long before Harry Potter. But like, I want to go to English public school and be a male student at the academy.
I understand.
Except also be me at the same time.
I understand. I understand that very, very well.
Yeah. And I want to have to wear a tie. Mm-hmm. And I love suits. I wish I could wear suits, like men's suits.
I completely and
like
totally
just
agree.
Go have them made for me and mm-hmm. have nowhere to go except mm-hmm. have somewhere to go play bridge or whatever people
bespoke.
Do.
Your yeah. bespoke. Your
bespoke
suits.
Bespoke. Bespoke. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's kind of two. Mm-hmm. And then the third one. Jamón.
Oh.
Be a gross Spanish teenager with Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz.
Penelope Cruz, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? Okay, next I'm going
those
to...
Those aren't really real answers. Maybe any Almodovar movie. I always liked Almodovar. Great. Yeah. Women on the Verge, any of those crazy...
As I discovered in a recent twist of me doing a MASH game on a live episode, I am also terrible at answers, and I really like asking the questions. So
I know, I love hearing other people's
like
answers,
the other
though.
Side.
Boo, chaff,
three
boo.
Other places in the world that you would like to visit.
Oh. I've never been to Asia.
Any specific part?
I don't think it's... Well, I'd like to go to Vietnam.
Great.
I would like to go... I would have liked to go to the Ukraine. I'd like to still go at some point, I think.
It's on the list.
Well, I was going to say Tahiti, but I really want to go to, like, Seychelles.
Okay, great. Yeah, people do love the Seychelles.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
One of those spots.
Okay. How about three fictional characters... from anything, I don't care, that you would want to be your buddy.
Not Hermione Granger.
Yeah.
Pain in the ass.
Fussy.
Know it all. I was not Hermione Granger. Somebody I'd want to be friends with.
Yeah, it can be totally fictitious.
Like, it's basically like Eddie Murphy and Bette Midler from like 1982 to 87. Like, or 88. I'll call it 88, but that's right on the edge. Mm-hmm. Like every movie that they did, like every movie from that was my used to be my dream. I'd be like, I want to do a road movie.
Sure.
Or like a buddy comedy with Eddie Murphy and Bette Midler when I was like, you know. 13. That was my dream.
Of secret longings, I feel like anything from that era specifically, and I think maybe you came and watched us at my house when I showed it that one time, was
which one?
Shelley Long and
Big Business?
No, Shelley Long.
Ruthless People?
And
Outrageous
Midler.
Fortune.
Outrageous Fortune. Oh, that's what I want. Like that or Big Business was like,
except
oh,
you're Shelley Long.
Show Business.
You know you're Shelley Long.
I'm okay being Shelley
you
Long.
May in your heart be Bette Midler, but you are Shelley Long.
I'm okay.
In that movie.
I would be okay with being.
In fact, if they redid that movie, you'd be so great as Shelley Long in that movie.
I love Shelley Long in general.
Shelley Long.
All of her uptight characters I love.
Yeah, because she's so committed.
Yeah.
She's so good. Oh, who that makes me think of like maybe there's a sitcom person that I would have liked to have been friends with.
Sure.
I mean, everybody would have liked to have lived in the Cosby household until recently.
Let me just put that. Do you want? Yeah.
Gulp.
Let's go back. Well.
Ooh, Game of Thrones land. I'd like to live there.
Those are your friends, huh?
Oh, no, I don't want to be friends with those people. I would have liked to have lived in that land.
Should
it? But who else do I want to be friends with? I'm trying to think if they're like of a book that really would have. That somebody that you were like. They got the stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
This is too. I know I am this partnered, takes way no, too long.
I am partnered up with, and these guys know St. Clair, and I don't know just about any other person with Anne of Green Gables, like for sure.
Oh yeah, I never read Anne of Green Gables.
I think I knew
and,
that you didn't.
Yeah, that St. Clair's like bread and butter. She loves that so much.
Yeah,
that's so her. Like, yes, that's so her. Scott and I are really getting on.
I'm really into the Eddie Murphy and Bette. I feel like
Eddie Murphy
expand on Eddie Murphy and Bette Midler.
Axel Foley and I would have been great friends.
Yeah,
great friends.
Oh, Axel.
There was someone just the other day that I was like, I feel like we'd be such good friends. What was it? What were we watching? We just watched a movie. Fuck. And I was like, we would be great friends.
I love those moments.
And it's always also, I think I would be great friends with like all professional athletes.
Oh, yeah.
Not all of them, but like,
I don't know
like,
if I disagree with that.
I went through a period where I felt like I really wanted to be able to have a personal friendship with Ron Artest because I felt like he like needed me.
I'm putting that on there. I just think it's
and I know I was right. And then it was funny because it was the same year that at the end of the playoffs, right, he thanked his therapist, his like therapist Janice or whatever. And I was like, I just feel like if Ron and I could just have a little out. Well, Lamar Odom, I felt like I really wanted to save Lamar Odom. I felt like he did not have that person in his life to be like, to like set him on the straight and narrow.
There's a lot of fame does that to so many people where
he's
like,
got a lot of heart.
He had that one person.
He's got a lot of heart. Like he's good people at the end of that, but he's very fragile and emotional. And Chloe kind of was that, but you can't be the answer and the problem.
Right.
You can't be the solution and the problem.
All right. This brings me to my next one, which is three alternate reality careers for you.
Homicide detective. Number one. No question. I'd be a great homicide detective.
God, that's great.
Maybe a professor of history, something like that.
Great.
And it's a lot of work, though. And you always got to justify.
Not in this world.
Got to justify your career and write a book every 10 years and all that stuff. But I love old books. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of like old books and manuscripts and like
I'd like for you to be an old book
a rare bookseller. I'd be a terrible thief. I think I would be a great action star.
Great. Okay, this is what I have: homicide detective, professor of history, and action star.
Yes.
Great.
I would be an awesome action star.
Okay.
If it would take a lot of work to get me there, but I think everyone would be really happy with the work that I did.
You got it in.
And also my sides would be great.
You got it in.
My like, I guess we took the trash out. Would be, except that I would refuse to say those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But like there aren't too many people left that have the skills and the swagger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You need that swagger.
I agree.
I have been recently watching Fast and Furious 6. 20 minutes at a time. Like the first time I watched it, I saw the last 20 minutes. It's just like when I tune in, because I keep flipping.
Sure.
Then the second time it was like the last 40 minutes. And then the third time it was the last hour. So I still don't know what happens in the first hour.
I love it.
But it is amazing to me, like what they get away with in terms of like the silly dialogue. And sometimes you're like, oh, okay. And some of the action is like I was laughing out loud, but that's also kind of how great it is. Like it's so
people
stupid.
Say that I think about that particular one.
Cars keep smashing out of the inside of other cars.
Mm-hmm.
There was a truck that had a tank inside of it that had a car inside of it, and then like the whole rest of the thing is like it's an airplane with a car inside of it with another car inside of it that gets pulled down by a car.
Yeah.
Like it's all it's
like
ridiculous.
A running gag. It
it's just
gag.
Hot Wheels.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's Hot Wheels.
It's Hot Wheels. Yeah. It's great. Okay, next category is going to be.
I have hopes for The Rock, but I'm disappointed right now. I don't think it's going to happen.
I
thought
really
The Rock was going to be the next Schwarzenegger.
I did too,
and I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think that Hercules was his chance, and anyway, but I think he's got a good heart.
Give me three.
A good enlarged heart.
Three, as everything is with him. Three foods, as specific or as general as you like, that you can eat. Snap of a finger, it appears in front of you. No physical ramifications.
A Chinese egg roll, circa 1988, and probably 88 to like 98.
I love it.
Which is one of those. I don't know what the company was that made them, but they all the dive bar kind of Chinese restaurants had them, and they had the pink spare rib meat inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not had a good one of those since I was probably 20.
I hear you.
Like on the, like back from college.
I know exactly what we're talking about. Yep.
I love ice cream.
Great. Any particular kind? It's okay if you don't.
Well, no, there's so many. I mean, mint chip is probably like Howard Johnson's mint chip, which was like that teeny tiny chip.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then there was
more like a mint fleck.
Yeah. And Friendly's used to make this butter crunch, it was called.
Ooh.
Which I really loved. But I love ice cream, but I go on and off it. And then like every, probably twice a year, I'll go to Gelson's. This is like one of those like, oh, it's good to be an adult.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to spend my babysitting money however I want.
Yeah.
And no one's going to tell me like you can't. And I will buy like 6 or 7 different kinds of ice cream. It just, and taste each one. I won't like eat them all. I never have eaten like a pint of ice cream.
Yeah. Boy.
Which I don't know why I don't. It's like I eat plenty of, it's like I'm not like maintaining my svelte figure by not eating pints of ice cream, but I never, I don't do that. That's why I'm not great on pot, because it makes me just eat everything in sight, like from the like motion of eating it, not even from hunger.
Yeah.
But I will go get like 9 kinds of ice cream and try them all. And I'll do that a couple times a year. And I do find like Haagen-Dazs is pretty consistent, but I really like to go for the small producers, McConnell's, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But they're all, some of them do things better than others. And there's a new brand which has terrible packaging, and I want them to change their packaging. They're San Fran brand, I think, called Three Twins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People love Three Twins.
And it's really, really good.
Yeah, people
good.
Love Three Twins, for sure.
Well, I had some flavor from them. What was it? It was so delicious. But then also McConnell's peppermint stick. I could eat a whole container of that. No question.
Let me tell you what I have right now. Okay. Ice cream.
Yeah. And then the third thing. I do love Chinese food.
Yeah, God, I hadn't thought about those. Just fried up.
Just like fried egg rolls. And I like the chicken fingers too. Maybe this isn't that exotic and I would eat it whenever I want to, but maybe like some sort of a like spicy lobster pasta.
Okay. All right.
It's kind of boring. Or bibimbap. I like Korean food too. I like a lot of Asian food.
Well, spicy lobster.
Despite never been to Asia.
Could be that you go.
I don't want to go to China.
World.
I don't have any interest in going to China. Even though you can touch a panda there for $350. What is this world coming to?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jaffin. Okay. Next category will be... you can travel back. Only the positive or the negative. Whatever floats your boat. You are in no physical danger yourself, but you can travel forward or backward in time and stay as long or as little as you like in an era. 3.
Renaissance. Maybe, and that's Italy and England. I would like there to be a door between the two.
Great.
It's so funny. It makes me sound like a Renfair person, which I'm not. But and actually, I don't even know if that's number one on the list, but that's in there. It's
this is a process of elimination.
I love England, so I would go to a lot of different time periods there. I'm not that interested in the future.
Okay,
I'll be honest with you.
No problem.
It scares me.
Listen, mostly I don't offer that, and then people are like, "Can I go to the future?" And I'm like, "Ah, fuck! I should have said
that." It's
just
too much to worry about the future.
Yeah,
so much to worry about.
Yeah.
Unless in the future I'm like even younger and more beautiful than I am now, in which case sign me up.
Could happen.
I guess the Second World War.
I mean, I was waiting
since
for you
said
to
say I'm not in danger. I would say the Second World War.
Well, because I think there is that morbid curiosity, if nothing else, even if you can change nothing, that there is that sense of like, would I understand it on a more profound level when it feels ununderstandable? When something feels incapable of being understood.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
Do you
to
have
be
the morbid curiosity
to
sort of understand?
Or
like,
Europe at that time.
Yeah.
That part of Europe, though.
I get it.
Totally. And also, I went to Churchill's War Rooms this year. Have you ever been there?
No, no.
Next time you go to London, you got to go. And everything is like left exactly as it was. Mm. And that's another of these weird things that fascinates me is like, that you used to have to like make everything.
Mm-hmm.
So like all the charts and the maps and the, you know, it's all still just left as it was like on the last day of the war. And so, but you can just see yourself like clip clopping around as like a secretary to the most important people in the world.
Because
you know?
You wouldn't be the most important person in the world.
Well,
you're a woman.
It wouldn't have worked that way. But yeah, I know. I don't know how well I would have fared. They would have been like, oh, she keeps talking. Get her like, get her out of here. You know? But I like a good, drink down the pub too.
Yeah, feel free to make the last one and too. Who cares?
The last one. I think it would be interesting to be in revolutionary France also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All boring choices, but
I disagree.
I should have been like, to be a samurai would have been.
Oh, stop. No. These are all fascinating.
Ooh, next what, if you, be, what if you could have been at like the time of Jesus or creation? I would like to know the truth about Jesus. I'll tell you that much.
Do you want to switch out anything?
Let's lose the Renaissance and switch into Jesus.
Jesus answered.
Yeah.
Jesus
Jerusalem.
Jesus. Okay. Next one is...
Rome's cool.
Speaking of people, weird, terrible segue. It wouldn't be a MASH game without crushes. So three people that you have a crush on of some kind, either romantic, just like fascinated by, just, you know, your future fake husbands, or
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Great.
Tom Brady, obviously. And
yeah, you had your first two right and ready to go.
Yeah, well, that's like, I mean, come on. That's a given.
Sure.
Even though at the end of the day, I think Tom and I would really just be like good pals. I don't think there's any, I don't actually think we'd have any chemistry, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I just would like to hang out with him.
Okay.
Not actually in love with him, but I think he's fabulous. And... who else do I love? I used to love Ralph Fiennes so much.
I mean, feel free to put it on there.
Yeah, but he's not really in that category for me anymore.
But what about the projecting back to the you that loved him in that time?
I did really love him.
I feel like you need to honor him in that way.
We can put him up right until the Hurt Locker.
Great.
Because he was so hot in the Hurt Locker.
I've locked him in.
He just looked great for him.
Yeah.
He looks good in that desert. He really should be Lawrence of Arabia if they ever do that again.
Oh, I agree. He's definitely got the people.
Oh, I agree.
I wholeheartedly. May I vote on it?
Can we pass some sort of measure? Completely genuine reaction. By the way, all my people are movie stars. Whose brain would I like to get in the crawl inside of? Who's got a sexy brain? I did meet Mike Lee once, who had a huge crush on, and I did feel that we were separated by like time and space.
Mm-hmm.
And we ate at a Chinese food restaurant in London together.
That's kind of
which was wonderful. And he ate the eyeball of a fish, and he probably will never remember that. But we were joking that we should have a talk show together in like Singapore. I was like 20, I don't know, 4 at the time.
That's a pretty dreamy.
And he
experience.
Was. I did feel like my brain and his brain were.
Do you want to swap out Tom Brady for Mike Lee?
I can't do that because the Patriots are winning right now.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Mike. I need to stick with the home team right now.
All right. Now that you say that, I am going to make the final category about sports. So three teams or games or pretty much anything where you could be like front and center watching the game live. Like you could teleport there and
Wimbledon.
Be there. Great.
I went to Wimbledon a couple of years ago and I would want to keep going back with increasingly better seats.
Great.
It's a fantastic.
Oh, I would love it.
Top to bottom. I'd like to go to the French Open.
Great.
I really want to go to the Monaco Grand Prix. I love cars. I love cars and I like fast cars, but I don't love Fast and the Furious, but I like fast cars.
I just wrote down Wimbledon, French Open and the Grand Prix. Is that going to work for you?
That'll do it. That's
all right,
fine.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. All right. Listen, I'm going to pause this, do some calculating, come back with your 100% guaranteed MASH future. I very much look forward to it. I like this idea of you being a sort of voice of wisdom and compassion and advice.
I just think
professional sports
it's about teams. The pattern thing we were talking about. It's like, I just understand them. It's great. I understand how their little machines work.
It's great. They're little machines. Okay, here we go. I'm excited about all of this.
And they just need sometimes like a little love. That's all they need. It's like sure. A mom to be like, you're fine. You're doing fine.
Yeah.
Just get back out there and don't fuck it up again.
Snap them in the buns with a towel.
Oh, you'll be cut tomorrow.
That's right.
Because they don't pay you millions of dollars to do fucking nothing. Show up. Make plays. Yep.
Speaking of, guess who is your buddy, Ron Artest?
He's my buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So you're going to
see. He now goes as thepandasfriend.com.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you
go. That's his new name.
Pandasfriend.com. I also want to congratulate you on your apartment in the Seychelles.
Ooh. I hope it's not a timeshare. I hope I can go whenever I want.
I got to be honest with you. You've been bankrupted by a timeshare scheme.
How come it's an apartment, by the way?
Because of MASH, Mansion Apartment Shack House. Yeah. Mm. You don't have a choice in that.
Boo.
I also want to reassure you that you... What the fuck does this say? Sorry, everybody, for the cursing. What was the first thing I asked you?
I didn't know this was what MASH was.
Oh, you can jump
MASH
into
MASH was... We called it MASH, yeah.
Yeah. You can jump into an Almodovar movie.
Oh, that's fun.
That's and
I used to
them.
Speak Spanish almost fluently, and see? I always thought, oh, maybe I'll do a movie in Spanish someday.
Also, you are also in an alternate universe, an action star, and I like the idea of you being an action star in a Pedro movie.
I'm so excited by that. It's really all I want.
Well, also, action star, burning a lot of calories. Not that that matters, because in MASH world it doesn't matter, but you do get...
Egg rolls?
You got ice cream. But you talked about ice cream for like
5 years.
That's
okay, because I live in the Seychelles and it's hot there.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You don't want those fried egg rolls
no,
in the Seychelles.
I do want them still.
I mean, you still do want them. But
that's my dream.
I want to congratulate you for your ability to snap of the fingers, be sitting in at the French Open.
Fabulous.
With Tom Brady.
This sounds like a real life I could have so far.
It could happen. I mean, it will happen, technically. This is the MASH game. And then
this is how I wake up thinking my life is going to be every day, by the way.
This is what I deserve.
And
this
then,
is the longing.
And then I end up with Scott on my
this
leg.
This is the longing.
This is basically a perfect day.
He
yeah.
really appreciates it. And then I want to let you know that if all of this sounds like you need a dose of a harsh reality, know that you may travel to World War II.
This is beautiful.
And just...
This is all my dreams except for the apartment.
Take it all in.
So Tom Brady is my love interest?
Mm-hmm.
I own, let's just say, we're not living
You own
there.
An apartment. And
I'm best friends with Ron Artest.
Correct.
I have an apartment in the Seychelles.
That's right.
Full of ice cream.
That's right.
To share with Tom Brady.
Yes.
When we're not at the French Open.
Correct.
And I get to time travel to World War II.
And be an action star.
And I'm an action star.
Almodovar movie, yeah.
In an Almodovar movie.
That's
this is
good.
All of my dreams come true.
Well, we did it. That's what the podcast is about.
I love this. This is now my favorite podcast of
Thank
all time.
Thank you very much, Jessica Chaffin. I love the Ron and Beverly podcast. I've done it. I love you and Jamie. I think that
Thank you
are marvelous human beings. And so check that out. Is there anything else that you want to tell the nice people?
I'm in an action movie, but I don't play an action person. Wow. Isn't that sad? I almost don't want to tell them. I don't even know if I'm really in it. Let's pretend.
Could be a step on the way.
But the Ron and Beverly podcast, I would say, if people want to listen to that, that's great. Or come see us in live whenever we do live shows. But I don't know.
I strongly
this
encourage
and that.
It.
This and that.
Guys, this and that. Check out Jessica Chaffin's This and That. Everyone Google Jessica Chaffin, This and That. It takes it very literally. Thank you so much for doing the
and
podcast.
Please
I'm so glad we did it.
Expose your children to the news.
Please expose
if
your children to the news.
If I have a message, just expose your children to the news.
This has been a PSA from Jessica Chaffin, This and That.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Talk to you next time on
I'm
the podcast.
I'm going to go cry now.
Great. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.